The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live right now by email, email her, realityradio101@yahoo.com. Now, your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Well, hello, and welcome to Down the Garden Path. Good afternoon, Gary. How are you?
I'm all right.
All right.
Can't wait to get out there, though, myself.
We're starting to see more and more. It's still chilly, so everyone, please stay out of your gardens and stay out of off your lawn.
But I see the leaves. I'm dying to get those leaves up, right?
Yes. Yeah. You need to leave them. So I'd like to welcome our listeners to Down the Garden Path, where we discuss down-to-earth tips and advice for your plants, gardens, and landscapes. And as a landscape designer, I think it's really important and possible to have a great garden that is low maintenance. And I love researching topics and tips to help you with that, but also researching topics and guests that can tell us about something new and different. So that's what we have on for you today. I do want my listeners to know if you have any ideas for show topics or if you have an idea out there and you feel like you'd be a great guest, then please contact me. You can email me at joanne@downtoearth.ca or here during the show at realityradio101@yahoo.com, like Gary mentioned. So today, there's been a lot of talk. Kind of the in thing is a lot about growing our own food. A lot of people doing a lot of starting vegetable gardens, turning their front yards into vegetable gardens. There's been a whole real change, and I think that's been great. And looking forward to talking about more about that as gardening season gets going. But I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine. We met this past January at the Landscape Designer Conference, and we really hit it off. And Janet has a love and a passion for raising chickens. So I'm going to read her bio here. And yeah, you can't do that through the whole show,
I know,
Gary.
I wanted to.
I'm sure she could get the real chickens too. So, so at the heart of Janet's chaotic life is the core belief that people are part of nature and not separate from it. Her formal education started with an undergrad degree in biology at Queen's University, wound along the Niagara Escarpment, immersed in the beauty and plant community for a botany degree from Guelph, and then doctoral studies in environmental planning at the University of Waterloo. So she loves being a student too, right, Janet?
Holy moly, all that for chickens.
Yeah, well, more than that. So she has worked as an ecological landscaper and is co-founder of the Stratford Renaissance of the Victorian Brick and Timber Building, Factory 163. And this is where we met. Her current day job as a landscape designer at John's Nursery in North Waterloo helps support her farm habits. Her experimental education took shape in the mud, working on community-based ecological restoration of streams in Woolwich Township since the early 1990s, and a parallel study in sustainable ethical farming, which grew and is now manifested in the pasture-raised animals at her family project, Stone Meadow Farm, where she farms backyard chickens in the village of Mary Hill And now at the 114-acre farm, she raises heritage breeds of animals on real grass with no hormones or antibiotics or antibiotic-enhanced feeds in a setting where they can thrive and develop complex flavors that give her eggs, duck, pork, and its terroir, its own flavor, I guess. Janet considers herself fortunate to have a family that appreciates beautiful food cooked from local and excellent ingredients assembled in her house with her chef and life partner, Roger, and she is passionate, very, as you're about to see, about sharing her interest in all aspects of integrating the ecology of people and the way we live and eat. So, further ado, I'd like to welcome my friend Janet to the show.
Thank you very much, Joanne. I'm really delighted to be here.
I'm glad. That was a very good bio. You wrote your own, I have to confess.
Sorry, it could have been a little less rambling, maybe.
Yes, well,
it's a complex story.
It is, and I think it's fascinating to know that, you know, you don't just wake up and want to, you know, it takes a long time. And you actually grew up in the city.
I grew up actually at Avenue Road in Eglinton in downtown Toronto.
There you go.
It has been a long and winding journey to get here.
Yes.
And you know, and I know people with less education that work for NASA. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's okay. I mean, it helps you to, you know, sort of really think your way through life.
That's for sure. And I think it's just happenstance that we met. We end up sitting at the same table and hit it off. And I was just, you were so enthusiastic about chickens, and I thought it would make a great discussion for the radio show. So thank you very much for joining me.
Oh, you're very welcome. I was very excited to hear that you had such a sympathetic radio show.
Well, we'll see if we get, you know, if everybody shuts off their computer, then I'll let you know. But I think I've put it on Twitter and Facebook, so I'm hoping we have a few listeners tonight. So excellent. Well, you said that you've been doing this since the 1990s, so let's tell me more about how you started.
Well, it was a bit not what you might expect. My father-in-law is actually a researcher, and he doesn't really like animals that much,
oh.
But his research animal just happened to be Burmese jungle fowl, which is the wild sort of prototype bird that all the domestic chickens have been developed from, as far as we know. So these animals, you know, they're sort of camouflage brown chickens, but the roosters have flashy green tails, and they live in the jungle.
Really?
And they're very similar birds all through Asia and Southeast Asia that look like these. So chickens started as very self-sufficient jungle animals, and they still actually are. So he was at the U of T, and they had just been given these new animal care regulations that caused their chickens that had formerly scratched out the backyard at number one Spadina to be locked into totally supposedly sterile rooms with high airflow, and the chickens didn't like it very much.
Uh-huh.
And he took one look at our original place in Maryhill, which was half an acre, and he said, "You should have chickens." Much to my husband's distress.
Yes, so he can blame his own father then.
Yes, and I was sort of really at a crossroads deciding whether I wanted to do ecological restoration or sustainable farming sort of next in my studies, and I just was so interested in sort of being more involved in my food and making sure that the animals that I was eating and the products I was eating from them came in a sustainable manner and in an ethical manner. So I said, yes, of course I should have chickens.
Ah.
So it was a bit sort of random at the time, and we had an old funny plywood gas storage shed in the back that we changed. We turned into our first chicken coop and moved the jungle fowl in.
Wow.
So that's sort of how it began.
That's how it began. And now how many do you think you have?
Probably have about 120 chickens.
120 now.
Ish, right now. Your listeners probably don't have much of a picture of what my chicken operation is like, but we live in the middle of 114 acres, and in the morning I open the doors to all the houses and to the barn, and the chickens and the ducks and the geese walk out the door, and they go wherever they please all day on pasture.
Wow.
So it's a little hard to keep track of who's who sometimes.
Yes. And do they just come back on their own as well? Like
yes, they all come in at dusk. The chickens are fantastic about coming in, and you only have to sort of shut them into their home where you want them to be for, say, a week, and then they usually will just go back there.
Okay.
To their actual spot. So ducks are a little more keen on staying out after dark and need a little more encouragement to go in. But they're very easy in that way.
Okay. Well, that's great. So it definitely evolved from
Yeah, and it's sort of, I mean, the jungle fowl are very interesting birds, and they're beautiful, and their eggs are delicious. But I decided maybe I should try some domestic chickens, and I got some barred rocks next. And all of a sudden, I discovered that not only could they be sort of self-sufficient and, you know, lay delicious eggs, but they could also be friendly.
Oh, okay.
Burmese jungle fowl are not known for their friendliness. Okay. And in fact, my neighbors had a good laugh at me at my old house when the one day the rooster actually chased me into a shed.
Oh, jeez. All right. Now, not everybody, of course, all our listeners live on a 114-acre farm or have a big property. So how could the typical homeowner start to get involved? If they're, you know, if this is something that's interesting, I mean, aside from visiting, you know, supporting their local farmers.
Yeah, and chickens can be done on a very, very small scale. I first started out with a big backyard for sure, but they would also work in a much smaller backyard. In fact, I had anarchist chickens in my sister's backyard in Stratford for several years because they're not actually allowed there. But
okay.
But she... They were her miniature Gallus pets. The Latin name for chicken is Gallus Gallus. So
oh, okay.
I said if the animal control officers came by, they were clearly too small to be chickens, and too colorful. So especially if you're just going to have chickens in the summer, it's fine to have, say, 3 chickens at a minimum.
Okay.
If you're going to take chickens through the winter, then, you know, each chicken puts out a certain amount of heat itself, and it's much, much easier to keep a few more chickens, say 8 or 10 chickens, happy
okay.
through the winter in an insulated house.
Okay.
But
so you couldn't just have one chicken?
One chicken wouldn't be a good idea.
No.
Any animal that hangs out in herds or flocks is much, much happier and better adjusted.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good to know. That was one of my questions
yeah.
there.
Yeah. But I also think it's a great idea for people who are sort of thinking about having chickens if they've had no exposure to even go to something like a Pioneer Village or friends who have backyard chickens or, you know, a friend of a friend
yes.
or somebody and just see, you know, put yourself beside the chickens and see if you click with them.
Okay. Yeah, if you're running and cowering and afraid, then...
Well, you can even get over that. I mean,
yeah.
if you get chickens little, then you can grow into the whole bird thing. But there are some people who just, you know, birds really aren't their thing. And
yes.
they probably should stick to supporting their local farmer.
Okay.
But on the other hand, most domestic breeds of chickens, like the Barred Rocks or the Rhode Island Reds or... A lot of the heritage breeds have been bred for a long time to be chill and nice. And
okay.
if you sort of handle them, the hens don't mind being picked up. And they have soft feathers and they're beautiful. And
okay. Because I know I made a comment to my, I was telling my husband about this last night. And he said, but they're not pets. And I said, well, they kind of are. Like with the reading I've been doing, like they, you kind of do become a little attached to them, like, you know.
Yeah, and most people I know really do think of them as pets.
Yes.
You know, they come when you call them, basically. It's all about the food, but but that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not afraid when you move, when you work with them. And they are, one thing that's really important to me, that sort of I've realized over time is really important to me, is that as I'm taking care of these animals, I think they should be, you know, nice to be around, and they should be beautiful to watch, and the food they produce should be fabulous to eat.
Yeah.
You know, it's all sort of, if you're going to go to the trouble of doing it yourself,
yes.
then every part of it can be enjoyable.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think of even people who have ponds in their backyard and feed the fish, and those fish, they come, you know, they same thing. They come when you come out. I know it's because of the food, but, you know.
Yeah, it's still nice.
Yeah.
And I get a huge kick out of just sitting on my porch and watching the chickens and ducks go by. The ducks are actually even more fun in the lawn.
Oh,
they,
that's good. Now there is a home in my neighborhood, not right on my street, but in my neighborhood that do have chickens. I don't know how many, But I was talking to good friends of mine live closer to them, and they were saying how, like, on the weekends in the morning when they're sitting in the backyard and they could hear, you know, they don't make a lot of noise, but it's kind of really nice to just hear that little chirping a bit from the chickens.
Yeah, they just sort of talk to themselves.
Yes,
And when you certainly would never have a rooster in a residential setting because they say too much.
Yes.
But there's all sorts of neat behaviors that they do. And so the roosters do something like they have a tidbitting call. So when a rooster finds a neat piece of food on the ground, a bug or something, they'll actually call the hens over and, you know, present it as a special present.
Oh, really? That's funny. So if I also did some research on Kijiji, I just started there, that, I mean, it is readily available to purchase. You know, I think you need to make sure you're getting them from a proper place, but to whether you want to get hens or actually get the baby chicks. But you said there's an advantage to getting hens. You and I talked last night about a few things. And I had done some reading, too, that, you know, getting chicks, even if they're sexed, it's sometimes you could accidentally get a rooster.
Yeah, so in which case you would be best at peace with eating your rooster.
Right.
before it got too old. And honestly, I mostly was thinking of talking about eggs because it's a way bigger step for people to go from, you know, sort of having pet chickens that lay eggs and they can keep them until they're, you know, fairly geriatric. Versus raising meat birds.
Right.
Which is probably not that nice a thing to do in the city.
Right.
Because there are tons of beautiful heritage breeds that lay beautiful eggs.
Yeah.
And to get good meat, you really need the commercial chickens.
That's
and they're
right.
kind of fat and not very clever, and their legs point the wrong way, and they're just...
And I know a lot of people, I was talking to people about the show, everybody kind of assumed that once the chicken stopped laying eggs that you then would eat it, could use it. But you said that's not really, you know, once they get to be too old, they're really too old to eat as well.
Yeah, we did talk about that because, I mean, sort of the traditional soup hen and it's the terminology that, you know, they use out in the country, is a spent layer, which is kind of awful.
Yes.
But the commercial breeds of chickens are built to lay an egg every single day for about 273 days.
Okay.
And by the time they're done with that, there's really not that much to them.
Right.
And on the other hand, my heritage birds that probably lay on average an egg every other day, or an egg every day through sort of the peak season, they will keep laying for 4 or 5 or 6 years.
Oh, really? Okay.
And a 4 or 5 or 6 year old hen just, again, isn't really
tasty.
That appealing. And besides, you know them pretty well by that point.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. All right, that's great. So I just wanted to talk to as many people and get as many questions in advance. And if you're listening to us and have some questions for Janet, please email us at realityradio101@yahoo.com. And Janet, I think I'll have you hold right there, and then we'll come back and we'll talk some more.
Okay. But
we'll pause for a commercial break. You are listening to Down the Garden Path, and we will be right back. You're listening to Reality Radio 101.
Are you looking for that very unique and personal gift? Then look no further. At Pamper Me Organically, we have that very special gift for that very special person in your life. Pamper Me Organically is a Canadian-owned and operated company that specializes and sells organic bath and beauty products. Come in and visit us locally in the Pickering Village Courtyard in Pickering, Ontario. Or visit our website at www.pampermeorganically.com. We ship worldwide for all of your online purchases. Call us at 416-629-1952. That's 416-629-1952. Remember, at Pamper Me Organically, we never sell any product that contains harmful chemicals, fragrances, colorants, or animal ingredients. We are Pamper Me Organically, where you always get great products at a great price. Looking for a great place to go for excellent coffee and delicious treats? Come visit us at Three Steps Up Coffee House in Whitby. Our coffee is made with freshly ground free trade coffee beans that are brewed at just the right temperature for the ultimate coffee drinking experience. Try one of our mouth-watering handmade treats that allow you to enjoy a little slice of heaven. We offer hearty organic soups such as butternut squash with toasted almonds and sweet potato carrot and ginger. There is something for everyone, from healthy salads to gourmet sandwiches and delectable chocolate treats. Contact us to find out more about our amazing catering services. Find us at 605 Brock Street North in Whitby, Ontario. Licensed under the Liquor Control Board of Ontario. Open Mondays to Saturdays, 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Seating for private functions and events available. Contact us by phone at 905-430-7817 or check out our website at www.threestepsup.weebly.com. Three Steps Up Coffee House. Three steps up to a perfect cup. The following program will make you want to grow things, and after tonight, eat things as well. And you will experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live right now, send her an email, realityradio101 @yahoo.com. And now back to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary. We are back. You're listening to Down the Garden on Reality Radio 1. Thank you for listening. Welcome back, Janet.
Thank you.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about the financial and time commitment. I know that's a big part of it. I know you suggested if someone's thinking about starting to start small with some research, visiting other chickens. And really, it's almost like when you purchase a dog, in the sense that there's all kinds of breeds.
Yep, and they're actually a lot easier than dogs.
Okay.
And a lot easier to keep.
Yes,
too.
I thought about that because I had quite a few people say, "Oh, it's harder than you think." And I think to myself, "Yeah,
really?
Well, getting everything's harder than you think, right? None of us would have dogs or pets at all if we thought it was easy. You know, my dog is a lot more work than I thought, right?
Yeah, I feel like we both have dogs that are lots more work than just a few chickens.
Yes, so
I don't know. I mean, I guess part of it is, you know, they're animals, and you do have to clean them, and that's really by far the sort of the heaviest, hardest part to the whole thing after you get the housing sorted out, which we'll maybe talk about. But, I mean, typically the chickens need to be taken care of twice a day, so you don't have to have a good fence particularly for your chickens, but you really do need a good solid house.
Okay.
And so you have to get out there in the morning, and if it's hot, you need to, you know, open them up, or they need to be well enough ventilated so you don't roast them.
Literally.
And they need to be let out, however it is you let them out for the day, whether they're just, you know, out right onto the lawn or out into a chicken tractor, which we can talk a little bit more about. You might have a movable cage for them.
Okay. And I think most of our listeners are probably, you know, typical suburban yards with existing fences. So
yeah, in which case, I mean, it's the thing about most heritage chickens is they can actually fly.
Oh.
But the other thing about chickens is they're not the bravest souls, and they really mostly don't wish to, you know, go flying over to see what might be on the other side of the fence.
Okay.
If they're happy on the inside.
Hence the term chicken. You're like,
right,
you're too chicken to do that. Okay.
Yeah. So every morning they need to be let out, and they need fresh water absolutely all all the time, and they need to be fed.
Okay.
And so with chickens, if they have a hanging water that's up off the ground, they're not messy creatures. If they can't kick their straw into it, then the water might not even need to be filled every day.
Okay.
Or certainly not twice a day, but it needs to be checked and, you know, made sure there's enough and just any straw that got into it.
Yeah.
Sort of
kind of like you have to for a dog as well, right? We all have to make sure our dogs have water.
Feeding is quite simple because they eat, most people who keep chickens feed them a dry pelleted or crumbled ration. So it just comes in a big bag like cereal maybe. And you just need to put a scoop in their feeder. And most egg-laying chickens won't overeat either. So you can give them a good heaping scoopful. And if you don't have evil goats like I do, then you can just leave extra food for them.
Okay.
And we do have a couple of emails for Janet.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Patrick writes in. He says, is there a health concern from the parasites from the feces of chickens becoming airborne in an urban setting?
Ooh, Janet, how's that?
Well, I think that I might know Patrick.
Okay. Oh, is that Patrick?
Unless it's a different Patrick.
Okay.
That's a very good question. Probably the biggest health concern that one would have to worry about, first of all, I would advocate keeping your chickens clean enough that it's not like a dirty old poultry barn where every time you move you're sending up a cloud of dried chicken poo, and if they're out on grass for most of the day, then they're just being a weed and feed crew.
Okay.
But with any birds, there's a risk of histoplasmosis.
Okay.
And so you actually don't want to clean out your chickens without putting on a dust mask if it's dry.
Okay.
Or the other option is just to wet it down. I don't think there's any evidence that there's any risk for adjacent properties with the chicken keeper who's in close proximity. But there are some sensible precautions to take, and one should never, ever breathe dry, airborne litter in quantity.
And you would clean that out every day?
No. If you wanted them to be absolutely spotless, you'd probably need to shovel it out, and then you can, it's amazing compost, the straw and manure mix.
Okay.
And just put in fresh straw, and that once a week would be very spotless chickens, and depending on the number of chickens in the space, it might not even be that much.
Okay.
Okay, and we have another email question for you, Janet. And guess what? It's from Patrick again. And he says, I'm thinking about dressing up as a chicken for Halloween. Any suggestions on where to get a costume?
Like that probably could wait till later. I have a blog. It's stonemeadowfarm.blogspot.ca. And if anybody has questions like that, they are absolutely welcome to contact me there. And my email is on the blog too. And we can work out some things like that.
Excellent. Thank you, Janet. So if they're getting started, so now you said the home. So in my research, if you were to buy, I keep going back to the dog analogy, but I think most of our listeners can relate to that. If you were to buy a dog from a breeder, you probably are spending at least $1,000, like maybe a little bit less, a little bit more, depending on the breed. Chickens are much cheaper to purchase, but yet the housing is more of an investment. I was looking at things, $400 to $600. How is that reasonable, or is that high?
Well, that to me sounds like you would be getting sort of a nice, purpose-built, pretty spiffy chicken house with an inside and an outside kind of component to them for that price.
Okay, that's good.
And for the person who's not handy, that would be fine.
Yes.
For somebody who is more handy and has a little more time than cash, there are there are pretty inexpensive solutions. Sort of any old garden type shed or corner of a garage or even a big dog house could probably be successfully repurposed.
Okay.
Or a fairly, probably my most cost-effective from-scratch shelter was one of the garden sheds that you build with sort of a set of connectors.
Yes.
So 2x2s and plastic connectors and outdoor-grade plywood.
Okay.
But certainly housing is the biggest investment, and you really need to sort of think about how long you think you might like to do it. And if you're sort of not sure that chickens are really your cup of tea, you might want to try some very simple summer housing to get going.
Okay.
And then they really only need a roof and a bit of shelter from the wind and good, strong mesh to keep out predators, because even in an urban setting, raccoons, you know, and maybe even coyotes
in Toronto,
suburban setting, mm-hmm. are and house cats are all a threat to chickens.
That was my next question. Yeah, so raccoons and house cats too,
and neighbor dogs. My neighbor dog once at my old house went sailing way up in the air and pulled a chicken right out of the air.
Wow, but your dog is fine.
Well,
or not.
My dogs, and this is actually a really good point, because lots of people who are going to be sort of, you know, backyard chicken friendly possibly already have pets.
Yes.
And it really, for dogs with prey drive, it's a slow process to get them trustworthy with the poultry.
Okay.
Well, we have another email, and this one is from Rick.
Okay.
It's a two-part question. First part is, how can I manage a relationship conflict over getting chickens? That's number one. But number two, is there a way to convince my wife that chickens will not be so difficult to keep?
Well, everybody ends up with relationship challenges when it comes to any kind of animal.
Yes.
I think Joanne and I were...
Dogs, cats, chickens, yes.
...contemplating this. And it's definitely not a cool thing to spring on your... partner.
Right.
Although I think, you know, you have to get them sort of most of the way to agreeing that it would be okay. And I think probably going to visit some different settings where, you know, the chickens aren't smelly and where the chickens look pretty and where you can clearly see that, you know, they're calm, quiet, pretty animals.
Yeah.
It's probably a really good idea.
Okay. Well, that's good. And they can find out more information from your blog as well.
Yeah, my blog right now, I'll do some updating. I've got some access issues, but absolutely, I'm happy to email, and we're going to be putting some more current information on that blog as well.
Okay.
And the other thing I'm going to put up are some couple of really good information sources. I think it's a great idea to get an old-fashioned book.
Yes.
So something like a book called The Chicken Tractor is a super good one, and the Stories Guides... to animals, which you can get sort of at TSC or an agricultural co-op, or a, you know, probably even a cool neighborhood bookstore. They have a chicken guide.
Okay. And I was mentioning to you, I don't know if it was when we were on air or not, about the blog called Toronto Chickens. Chickens are currently not allowed, according to the Toronto. In Durham region, I did some research and I could find no bylaws that said that they are not allowed. I know I have neighbors, like I said, in Pickering, and I checked the Whitby and Ajax and Oshawa bylaws, and I couldn't find anything saying no, that they were not allowed. And I know they tend to be, you, I think, worded it best when you said, what did you say, how did you word it?
That enforcement is really based on complaint.
There you go, complaint,
yes. So I do think it's super important that you have definitely your household and also your neighbors on board with the project, especially, I mean, if chickens are allowed, then you don't have to worry about it so much. But in areas where you're not really supposed to have them, it's very important that, you know, everybody who's going to have anything to do with them thinks it's a fun idea.
Okay.
I know in my old place, I was in an old village, and I got these jungle fowl, and I had roosters. And my neighbor was 98 years old at the time, and she was so excited
about
the rooster crowing in the morning. Not everybody is.
Not everybody, no.
But I do think that it's a much better policy to make sure that you have a manageable number,
yes.
You know, a nice house, that they're not in people's way, and that you keep them clean.
Yes, yep. And sharing the eggs with your neighbors is always, because you're going to have a surplus of eggs, so that's a nice way to keep the neighbors happy as well.
Yes, especially if you go sort of the keeping some chickens happy in winter route and you have a few more, they are going to lay, you know, at least an egg every other day.
Yeah.
So if you have 10 chickens, you're getting 10 eggs a day, and that could quickly overwhelm a small family.
For sure. Looks like we have another email, Gary?
Oh, we have a couple.
Okay.
And Rick writes in again. I'm not sure what he means here. He says, is there a danger of chickens attracting? And then he says, predictors to my backyard. Well,
I don't know if he means predators.
I think he means predators, right? Okay. So sorry about that, Rick. He probably means predators.
I think there's probably not much danger of attracting extra predators that aren't already sort of cruising your neighborhood, but it is super, super important that you have a good solid coop.
Yes.
That you can shut them up in, because you just, I mean, they will go there on their own, so it's not, you know, hours of rounding up chickens on the wild range every night.
Yeah.
But it just is so much, you know, such better peace of mind. And in the, when I got going, I didn't have a particularly solid chicken, and there were a coop, and there were definitely sleepless nights, as you know, you heard a kerfuffle and you're running out with your flashlight. And it actually turned out that a mink was the most serious predator that I ever had.
Wow. Okay.
But yeah, it's very important. And then you can also, you know, then it gives you much more flexibility than a dog, and that you can go away for a night with just a few chickens.
Oh, and that was one of my questions, actually. Can you, because you said you have to see to them twice a day, but could you leave them for the weekend?
Yeah, my one coop is based on a standard, I think, 8x10 shed, maybe.
Okay.
And I have it, which I wouldn't do again, actually, but I've got a people side and a chicken side, and then I have an outside built onto it. So if you have a small outdoor portion of your otherwise solid coop that you can leave the chicken door open to,
okay,
then it's, I mean, and you have to play it by ear, because you'll know after you've had them for a while how often you're having to change the water and fill the feeder. But in most cases, you could certainly go away overnight as long as they were, you know, enclosed into a safe space.
Well, that's good to know. And I think we do have another question for you.
Yes, Wilson writes in and he says, where can I get young chickens?
So is the question to get baby chicks, do you suppose?
That's what I think it would mean.
Young and ready to lay.
Oh, I don't know. How about answering both?
Okay, so there are hatcheries that sell day-old chickens. And they often, even if you don't have a hatchery that's right close to you, a bunch of the hatcheries at least bring a few breeds out into sort of more mainstream outlets, so feed stores, and I know the TSC stores around here have chick days.
Okay.
But also, as you saw, Joanne, if you look on Kijiji, there are often either local hatcheries or, you know, have sort of a field trip to a hatchery, or just people with hobby chickens or small organic farms who, you know, would really be happy to sell.
Yeah, the neat thing with Kijiji is because you can search by area. So I kind of searched a few different, like I literally searched the Oshawa-Durham area, and there was a farm that had them, and I searched the Markham, York region, Markham area, and there was a couple other farms, you know, that were offering them. So I think that as long as it's...
And we'll certainly be offering some chicks this year. I always hatch more than I need.
Okay.
My chickens get sneaky and go and sit on eggs in all sorts of funny places.
Okay, so if anyone's in the Waterloo, Kitchener, Guelph area, they could stop by.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know.
And then, so the other, that's for day-old chickens, and then the other sort of commercially available kind of chicken is a ready-to-lay chicken.
Okay.
So it's about 19 weeks old, and here in North Waterloo, we have several places that actually sell. And you could absolutely Google it and figure it out, ready to lay. The only downside about those is that you have very limited choice in breeds. And Bonnie's, actually, in St. Jacobs has, Bonnie's is in Elmira. Fry's in St. Jacobs has they've got barred rocks, and they've got a sort of a dual purpose that are pretty good looking hens.
Okay.
But when you get them ready to lay, they're only brown or white commercial layers, and they're typically de-beaked.
Okay.
Which means that they've had their beaks burnt off, basically, as chicks.
Okay.
Which I'm not a huge fan of.
And why do people think that's necessary?
Well, those chickens are started under commercial conditions, so they have many, many hundreds of chickens in a barn. And when chickens are crowded quite tightly, they're not nearly as relaxed as when they have enough space, and they will peck each other. So most commercial sort of free run, even chicken operations, do cauterize the beaks to take the point off them.
Okay.
And it's kind of a drag when you're wanting to, you know, have something that's naturally raised and or organic even, and then it has this stubby beak that's not very good for eating weeds and bugs.
So you think getting the chicks then might be the best bet?
Yeah, or just looking around, and, you know, often there might be kids doing chickens for 4-H or something, and they've raised up their chicks, and now they've got 10 chickens that take up 10 yeah. times as much space as
okay.
their 10 chicks, and maybe they've got a few extra.
Okay. All right.
So, I mean, the other advantage of chicks if you're starting from scratch is that they're very clean. They won't have any parasites or diseases.
Right. Okay.
Whereas if you get chickens from a barn, they probably have the usual sorts of things that chickens eventually pick up.
Right. Okay. All right. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about the health, any health concerns that people might have, but we'll do that when we get back. So we will pause now for another commercial break. You are listening to Down the Garden Path with Joanne Shaw, and we are on Reality Radio 101, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for that very unique and personal gift? Then look no further. At Pamper Me Organically, we have that very special gift for that very special person in your life. Pamper Me Organically is a Canadian-owned and operated company that specializes and sells organic bath and beauty products. Come in and visit us locally in the Pickering Village Courtyard in Pickering, Ontario. Or visit our website at www.pampermeorganically.com. We ship worldwide for all of your online purchases. Call us at 416-629-1952. That's 416-629-1952. Remember, at Pamper Me Organically, we never sell any product that contains harmful chemicals, fragrances, colorants, or animal ingredients. We are Pamper Me Organically, where you always get great products at a great price. Do you worry about your pet becoming bored at home alone or while you are at work? If you love your pets but don't have the time to walk and play with them, Corey Hamilton can help. Growing up with a never-ending passion for animals, Corey is up for any challenge to make your pet healthy, happy, and fun. With Corey's expertise, you'll never again have to worry about your pets being left home alone. Corey's company, Taking the Lead, will treat them like they are a part of our family. Animal enthusiast Corey Hamilton loves anything with fur, fins, and feathers. Combined with her degree in biochemistry, your pets are not just in for some fun and play, but their needs are being well understood. Skip the guilt and let your pets enjoy their lives while you are rest assured in yours. For more information, contact Corey at 905-697-2788. That's 905-697-2788. Or visit us at www.takingthelead.ca. Remember, happy pets make a happy home. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw. Eating a chicken leg in the studio. Right here on Reality Radio 101. And now, back to your host, Joanne.
Thank you very much. You are listening to Down the Garden Path. And thank you very much for listening to this show. And Janet, thank you very much for being part of it. I think anybody who has concerns, like we listened to some of our people that emailed questions, either as a wanting them in their own home or maybe the neighbors, I guess health noise concern, I could see noise concern and health concern being the number two issues. You mentioned, you know, you don't have to clean out their coop and maybe once a week. And when they're, you know, free range and kind of fertilizing your yard, there's no concern there, right?
No, I don't think so. And they make a fantastic weed and feed crew. is they actually really prefer broadleaf things to grass.
Okay.
So if they're on the lawn, they'll preferentially eat dandelions. They also like clover. But,
okay. Will they eat grass, though?
To some extent.
Okay.
But they're actually better bug catchers than grass eaters.
Well, that's good to know, too. I've heard that from mosquitoes as well, right? They... did I read that?
They will. I've seen them jump out of the air and grab mosquitoes, but I haven't quite noticed them keeping the mosquito population completely under control here in the middle of my...
I think you have a big property, though, so I think you might need more chickens for that, but I'm not sure how you're...
I think that would be... I mean, certainly if things are in the lawn, I can't imagine how there could possibly be a chinch bug standing on my property.
Yes.
They would help with mosquitoes. If you really want amazing mosquito and fly control, muscovy ducks are the way to go.
Okay.
But I can't say that I really advocate ducks as backyard animals.
No, they need a bit more, don't they?
They are rather sloppy.
Okay. So,
but I mean, a lot of the sort of any issues around disease have a lot to do with density of animals.
Okay.
So
if you're just keeping three chickens, then really...
Yeah, and when these sort of horrible avian flu kinds of things happen, they have always been associated with giant chicken operations with, you know, thousands and thousands of chickens who are genetically really similar crammed into tight quarters.
Right.
Which it just has no similarity to, you know, a few birds
in the backyard.
And I think they're probably, you know, it's healthier than having budgies or a parrot, really, because the droppings aren't in the house.
Yeah. My grandfather raised rabbits, actually, in the shed in the backyard. So they had rabbits. I'm Maltese, and it's a big delicacy, being that Malta is a tiny little island, you know, and rabbits didn't take up a lot of space. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So that is neat. So is there anything else you'd like to share in order to wrap up?
Well, I wondered if you had asked me about cost, and I'd wondered if I should have, you know, I'll just throw out a few things.
Yeah.
You know, a chick can be sort of $3 to $5, if it's incredibly fancy, $8.
Okay.
And a ready-to-lay hen somehow miraculously is around $10.
Okay.
Although, you know, your sort of backyard farmer might charge $10 or $15. You pay up to $40 or $80 for a show pair.
Okay.
And then a bag of feed, they come in 50-pound bags, and they are anywhere from about $14 up to sort of pushing to $30 if it's organic.
Okay.
There's a big difference in price. But that would last, you know, your backyard chicken coop probably a month or two.
Okay.
So it easily, you know, when you sort of do the math, the various elements of it are way cheaper than a dog or cat.
Yeah, for sure. And we actually have a conure. We have a bird. It's funny because I have an inside bird, Janet.
Yeah.
We have a conure, which is in the parrot family. He was a rescue for us, but to buy him, you know, would have been $600-$700.
Yeah. So I mean, chickens are pretty. It's a pretty low key way. And the other, quail would actually be another cool thing that people could keep on an even smaller scale than chickens.
Okay.
And they lay beautiful little eggs, although they're much more skittish than chickens. There's nothing quite like a nice old barred rock or an Americana or.
Yeah.
I have Russian Orlovs this year that have earmuffs and beards. And
oh, neat.
They're very cool. There are lots of really beautiful chickens.
Yeah, that's neat. So why don't you, do you mind giving your email address or what way, if people have more questions or want to learn more about breeds or want to come see you and buy, you said you might have some chicks available.
Yeah, my email address is stonemeadowjc@gmail.com. So
okay.
The farm is Stone Meadow Farms. Stone Meadow, MEADOWJC, Janet Cox, @gmail.com.
Excellent, excellent. And I will tweet that out and put that on my Facebook page as well.
And I'm delighted to talk to people.
Oh, great. That's great. Well, I just wanted to thank you so much. I learned a lot. I learned a lot in my research. I learned a lot in our conversations. And I can't wait to come and visit you.
Fantastic.
Soon. I know we're both going to, our season is starting, both as landscape designers, but hopefully I can get out there and see these chickens for myself.
Well, I'm really looking forward to that.
That'd be great.
I'm so glad that you had me on today.
Yes.
I really appreciate it.
Me too. So thank you very much. And I look forward to catching up again soon.
Terrific. Okay. And hopefully we'll have some inspired new chicken keepers out
there.
That's right.
I hope so, too.
Thanks again.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
So thank you very much, Janet, and thank you for our listeners. I think by the emails we've gotten tonight, I think it's a really interesting topic, depending on where you live. And I know we talked a lot about Ontario and our area, but I know all over the U.S.
I know. I'm hungry.
Are you?
Yeah.
You want some eggs for dinner?
Well, I can just picture, not so much eggs, too, but some chicken. I can go for some mac salad.
Some of those names,
you know.
They sounded so beautiful. So I can't wait to look up some pictures of those. But I hope everybody enjoyed this interesting topic.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
You know, I have to laugh, though, because, you know, we're talking about chickens and we're playing commercial ads about taking the lead, take care of your pets.
Yes,
like anything with bird or feathers, you know, and I'm thinking, take my chicken for a walk.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a funny subject, even though it's a good subject for people that are interested in some type of home farming.
Yes.
But it's just Janet just made everything seem so nice that it's interesting to see if people would get into this, right?
Well, I think there is a big movement in that we want to be more control of our food, whether it's, you know, they're constantly genetically modifying everything. And, you know, we have very little control.
Yeah, sure.
So I think more and more people are really wanting to grow their own vegetables in their backyards. And eggs, you know, eggs is a big part of our diet in our family.
Mine
and,
too.
You know, that would be really, you know, so I could really see that happening. And I guess it depends on the bylaws and the area you live and your home. You know, we've got a pool in our backyard, so we have no room for that. But, you know, it'd almost be, but I'd love a neighbor to do it, you know, because I would help out just to get the eggs.
Sure.
So I think that's, I think it's a neat, neat thing. And it was nice to know that it wasn't as daunting.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know,
she made it very nice and interested and practical. And friendly, and it doesn't seem I know it's work. There would definitely be work
is having a dog, though.
That's
work.
There is. And I worked on when I was going to college years and years and years ago, I worked at a farmer's market, a farm.
Okay.
And I love that work. And it is hard work, but it doesn't seem to be that it would be that hard if you followed the steps and did the right thing.
Yeah.
Like Janet was saying.
Yeah.
It would be interesting.
Yeah.
I think raising a dog is harder.
Yeah. I mean, you have to take the dog out and walk them three, four times a day. So,
I want a chicken.
Please give me your feedback, and I do want to reiterate, it is spring is coming. It's officially started on Friday, so if you are looking for a landscape design or want to speak to someone about some landscaping needs that you may have, please take a look at my website at downtoearth.ca, the number 2, or email me at joanne@downtoearth.ca. I would love to hear from you, and please stay out of your gardens. Next week, I have Stan Genedick on. He has his own blog. He's a contractor in Minnesota, and he's going to talk about, you know, things to look for in hiring a contractor and things more about the contracting industry. So I'm really looking forward to having Stan on.
And you know, if you can go back a minute.
Sure.
There are a lot of people now that we're starting to get a little bit of progressively better weather. When is a good time? Now, you brought this up on your show before and you've talked about it, but when would be a good time for people perhaps to get out there again and start doing some raking? How long should we wait?
Oh, we still definitely need to wait. The frost is still in the ground. The ground is very wet. We did get, you know, most areas in southern Ontario, northern Ontario, northern U.S. Still have a lot of snow and did receive a lot of snow, so that needs to melt and really get out of the ground. And Easter's early this year. I think everybody tries to think, oh, it's long weekend and I'll do some gardening Easter weekend. I don't even know that we'll be able to be out there on Easter weekend.
Yeah.
So we definitely need some warmer temperatures, and we need not just for the snow to be gone, but we need the ground to dry out.
That's
because
right. Okay.
Otherwise, when we're walking on it and raking, you're really, all you're doing is compressing that ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when we get, you know, they say April showers bring May flowers,
right?
All that corny little thing we grew up with, all that rain, now you've just compacted all that soil. So all that rain is going to come down and not really be able to, you know, or at least not enough of it, really absorb into the soil. Mm-hmm. So it is just going to run off right to the sewer. And so it is better. I know everybody thinks they're being a better gardener by getting out there early. But please have patience. And let's wait, as my guest last week's Keith
right.
said, to be a lazy gardener
yeah.
is the better option, and wait until the time is right. So
okay, and we're hoping that would be sometime maybe around the third week of April,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, I'm thinking. But, I mean, yeah. a lot of it depends on the temperature.
Sure.
We've had this situation before where we went from, you know, from 0 to 100, right?
Yep,
and
right,
it
right.
really warms up. So it is tricky, but we'll be talking about it more next week as well. And I'll keep my eye on the sky and let you know what to do. So I wanted to thank my listeners for joining us tonight on Down the Garden Path, and I look forward to talking to you again next week. So thank you from Reality Radio 101.
You've been listening to Down the Garden Path with your host Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101.